Chapter 15, No One Will Take Away Your Joy. I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come, but when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. John 16, 20 through 22.
Could anyone live in a world without hope? Could you? Just imagine, if you dare, what such a horrible world would be like. Never would you hear someone say, "I'm looking forward to," or "I can't wait until," or "Every cloud has a silver lining." In such a world, there would be nothing to look forward to, no happy event to anticipate, no storm that ever died away. No one would ever go to sleep expecting a better day tomorrow. No one would ever have to get up on the right side of the bed. No calendars would ever circle a red-letter day, for there wouldn't be any. Never would visitors leave a hospital, a school, a rest home, or even a church with more optimism than what they brought in. Hope is perhaps the most precious commodity we have. Hope has the power to splash living colors on bleak and barren landscapes, to fill empty chests with golden treasures, and to infuse life and vitality where before there was only death and despair. Jesus knew well the awesome power of hope, and that is why he poured an ocean of it on his disciples shortly before he was taken away to be crucified. And yet how honestly he poured! Who among us would begin a warm bath of hope with a bracing shower of reality? Yet that is just what the Master did. Before he lavished on his men this gift of hope, he declared to them why they would need it so badly. "I tell you the truth," he said, "you will weep and mourn. You will grieve." Jesus is always candid with his followers, both then and now. He knows the end from the beginning and is aware that the middle is often filled with pain, tears, and grief. "You will weep and mourn," he tells his men and us. "You will grieve." And yet this is not the whole story. For the world Jesus created is decidedly not a world without hope. In fact, it's fairly crammed with the stuff. Jesus knew the anguish that was about to engulf his disciples. He knew the torrents of grief that would rock them when, in just a little while, wicked hands would nail their glory to a cross. But he also knew that no grave of granite could long entomb that glory. That is why he also told them, "Your grief will turn to joy. I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy." Don't miss that last glorious promise. No one will take away your joy. But Lord, aren't imprisonments in store for your disciples? No one will take away your joy. Aren't savage beatings just around the corner? No one will take away your joy. Won't your men be mocked, ridiculed, scorned? And won't they finally be tortured and killed? No one will take away your joy. Jesus knew everything that was coming, and yet he had the audacity, or was it the authority, to say no one will take away your joy. And now for the really good news. His promise belongs as much to you as it did to the 11. Why? Because he based it on a single priceless fact. I will see you again. Do you share that conviction? Then so will you share the promise? As surely as one day the Lord will greet each of his children, so surely will he immerse us in his joy, a joy that no one will take away. But Lord, I'm in such pain. No one will take away your joy. But the doctors have given up hope. No one will take away your joy. But my whole world feels like it's caving in. No one will take away your joy. That is our hope. That is the glorious hope promised us. And that is the hope that is able to see us through all of our tears, all of our groans, and all of our grief. It's as certain as the promise of Jesus. Charles Haddon Spurgeon says, "There is a sweet joy which comes to us through sorrow."